Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope you learn something new about the world. I am here with my co-host Camden Piggy Dippin' Hanslick Burton.
And joining me is my co-host Margaret Don't Feed Her After Midnight Hanslick Burton.
Welcome to the show. Are you interested in what your nickname is, Camden?
Do you say Piggy Dippin'?
Piggy Dippin'.
Like dipping your toes in something? In like the water?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a the young people, Morgan, at my office.
Let me guess. Had never heard that before.
No. Oh. She introduced me to it.
Oh, okay.
On TikTok.
Piggy Dippin'.
And there's a video of someone's cat. And they're walking away from their water bowl, and you can see that their little paws are wet. And the woman narrating the video goes, "Did you go piggy dipping at the piggy pond?" Because, and apparently that's what a lot of people call it when their cats dip their little paws in the water bowl, is piggy dipping at the piggy pond.
All right.
I'm so excited to be back, Camden, with you. And our first segment every week is where we share something that we are excited about. So besides being together here doing our podcast, what are you excited about?
Honestly, just that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be back in the pig saddle doing this little show again. This episode number 70.
Mm-hmm.
We took some hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Took our time to be people and do the things, but yeah, episode 70, and I'm just excited to be doing the show with the whole fam in the audience tonight.
Yeah, what we just witnessed while Camden was sharing his excitement was Satchel has been chewing on this bone. Olympia's been eyeing it. Satchel had to go give herself a little scratch. Olympia took that time to steal it from her.
Yes.
So that's what's happening in the studio.
Margaret, what's happening? What's been going on for you? What are you excited about?
Well, it has to do with these two audience members. It is Olympia's second birthday tomorrow as we're recording this. She's going to be 2 years old. She's been with us since November of 2021, so I'm just excited for her birthday. Yeah, both of our girls are going to be two.
Little two-year-olds.
The terrific twos, I think they call them.
Yep, famously parents call it that.
So we are going to move into our next segment called What Is That Sound? Camden, the jingle, please.
Well, you're walking down the street and you hear a sound and you hear a little sound and you're like, what's
Thanks.
That sound?
That's wonderful. Thanks. So this segment, What Is That Sound? We keep with the spirit of the show, meaning that one of us will have prepared a sound that has something to do with science, life, nature, something along those lines, and the other one doesn't know what it is. So I'm going to play this sound. I chose it this week for Camden. He's going to guess what it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Turkeys.
No, hold on.
Oh.
You can listen to it first.
Okay, that was an animal.
Yes. Do you want me to tell you yes or no?
I felt real calm. I mean, thank you. You already did. But that's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, oof. So I feel like in the tradition of this game, you want to say like it's a monitor lizard.
Okay.
You would think it's something scary. But then your brain needs to go, no, it's something you don't think would make that sound. I feel like it's a bird. But I want to hear it again.
You want to hear it again? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no part of me that thinks this should be a bird, but I feel like it's a bird because birds make some wild sounds, and it feels too on the nose for it to be like, that was a cobra. I'm going to take a shot. Okay. It's a bird. It is a flamingo.
Interesting. Yeah. You are going to be so...
Oh, man. Is it a...
You're gonna be mad at yourself.
I hate this game.
It was the hiss
of a monitor lizard.
The warning hiss of a Komodo dragon. The closest you ever have been, and you dismissed it immediately.
This is why you always guess with your first gut. Your first gut?
Your first gut.
First and only gut. First well, unless you're gut. A cow. But yeah.
That is the hiss of a Komodo dragon. Truly.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yeah, it's
truly terrifying. A lot of people in the comments of that video, which can be found on Ben Sklaroff's YouTube channel. I can't vouch for anything else he has on there. I haven't looked at it. People are saying, and I think they're close, which is that's the closest we can get to hearing what a dinosaur may have sounded like, which is horrifying.
Yeah, that's a scary sound.
Yeah, yeah, they're big. They're big kids, those Komodo dragons.
Yeah, famously.
I'm going to give you a half point for that one.
For being
you were so close initially, and then you just went astray. Well done, in a way. Half point of well done.
Half point for being so close and then giving up on your dream. Margaret, we got to give a little shout out to our Patreon subscribers.
Please.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for being Patreon subscribers.
We are so appreciative of your support, of your vote of confidence, your monetary vote of confidence in this show. And if you are out there thinking, gosh, I would like to support them with a monetary
vote,
then how could I do that? There must be a way. There simply must.
Well, through years of research, through 70 episodes of research, we have found out the best way to do that is by going to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg. And you can choose between one of three support levels. The top two levels earn you access to bonus content, like never before released shows on our private channels, or I've got to classify them all. Mm-hmm. Our Pokemon podcast. We also have some special content that I believe you've created before, Margaret.
Yes. And in fact, it is a bedtime calming reading of several of my most favorite Wikipedia pages. I also briefly wanted to shout out Beth, who gave us Snorlax and Charmander socks recently.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm a big Pokehead now. Do they call them that?
I don't know. Well, if you want to be a big don't pee on your leg head, you can go to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg. Be ever so kind, give us a little support. And if you can't do that, we understand it. Go to our podcast, give us a like, write us a nice little review. It helps people find us and find out fun, family-friendly science podcast material.
And if you're on one of those podcast platforms like Spotify that doesn't allow you to leave reviews, what you can do instead is tell your friends and family. Next time you're in a business meeting, you can look your coworker very seriously in the eye and then whisper to them and say, "You really should listen to that podcast that I've been telling you about. It's called Don't Pee on Your Leg." And then
say, Margaret, we are in the middle of a meeting.
Uh-huh. And I'll say, "But this is so much more important.
Can we take this offline?"
Oh. And then you roll your eyes at corporate lingo. So we really appreciate you for listening, for supporting us on Patreon, and for sharing by word of mouth. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks.
So now it's time to head into the main segment of the show, which are the misconceptions. I recently watched a video where a woman tried to get the Guinness Book of World Records record for the lowest note, and so I'm trying to practice.
You
so
sounded good day, until you tried to go I low. Can yes. Her. And I'm glad that of the two of us, you're going for the lowest note.
No. This was for females.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, you and I are not in competition.
Got it. All right, you know, keep going.
Anyway, it's time for the misconceptions, which are the times when we talk about things that, you know, are commonly believed, but we are going to bust some of those misconceptions, just like in What's That Sound? We don't know what the other person has prepared. I'm very excited to hear what Camden's done every week. So we're going to flip a coin to see who goes first. I actually have a coin, Camden, this time. It's a coin from the Overland Park Farmers Market. It is $5, same as cash. You can turn this into vendors
who mushrooms.
Don't accept cards. and it's the same as money. So I saved it so I can spend it later.
What are my sides?
The sides, one says OP Farmer's Market and the other side says debit only $5, same as cash.
Well, I have to do the Farmer's Market. The other one's just boring.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So the person who calls gets to decide.
Thank you for explaining.
It's the Farmer's Market.
Yay!
Do you want to go first? I take it.
Yeah. Okay. Keep up the spirit of the winning season. Okay, Margaret. We're going to set the stage. So you can close your eyes.
Okay.
And if you're at home, you can close your eyes unless you're driving.
Unless you're driving at home.
You're at home, driving at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 1950.
Mm.
You're in New Mexico.
Boy.
You step outside. It's September, so it's not too hot. Really nice. You can see for miles.
Mm.
And your dad comes out and he says, I'm going off to work.
Wait, do I know he's my dad even though it's 1950 and my dad was not around in 1950?
No, it's your dad.
Okay.
We've
both been transported.
Yeah. He said, I'm going off to work at the government facility. And he comes home and says, Margaret, your name's Margaret in this world.
Wow.
I found a cool science rock at work today. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You can hold it. It's a piece of uranium.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold it, Margaret? You've been transported back. Whoa.
It's 1950. I feel like they didn't know any better. So sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll hold it.
Now you're back in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Should you hold it?
Does it belong to the government? I have a lot of
questions.
No.
Should you hold uranium?
Oh.
This is not an ethical dilemma. This is not like the trolley dilemma.
Let's say yes, but I'd be nervous.
Why?
Because it's bad for you. Like how you shouldn't roll mercury around in your hands.
Okay. So uranium, you shouldn't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Because it might be radioactive.
Okay. Margaret.
But I bet it's not.
Is uranium? Thanks for yeah. So the record shows that you weren't fooled.
Yep.
Should you touch uranium? Is it radioactive? Is that why it's dangerous? Is it dangerous to touch? Let's find out. My citations this week are myself from an earlier episode, sciencing.com and xkcd.com, a classic for Camden Misconception. So I'm going to already shout out the book What If? 2, the second edition.
He's looking at the bookshelf.
It's from Randall Munroe. It's a book of lots of different reader submitted questions of, you know, like fun questions of science that, you know, Mythbusters or say a don't pee on your leg could never test in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this former NASA scientist who's really funny. He's a great artist and he answers in very creative ways, and usually they're very creative questions.
We have to have talked about What If before.
Oh, plenty. Just reminding folks, okay. But his second edition of this book, What If 2, mm-hmm. the number 2,
mm-hmm.
came out, and in one of the reader submitted questions, was, can I hold uranium?
Mm-hmm. May I?
May I hold uranium? And so let's talk about this. A lot of people would think, no, it's radioactive. Don't touch uranium. That's what we make bombs and, you know, radioactive stuff out mm-hmm. of. So as a refresher, what is radioactivity? Do you remember? This was from like 20, almost 20 episodes ago.
Oh, boy.
When you think of radioactivity, what do you think about?
I think of energy production.
Okay.
I think of David Ferrier in Dark Tourist swimming in a radioactive lake, which he later regretted. Mm-hmm. I think of Chernobyl.
Okay.
I think of hazmat suits. I think of sure. Geiger counters.
So scary stuff usually.
Yeah, not
like
great
you don't want
stuff.
To be around it.
No.
Yeah. And so I'll take a few steps back. There are atoms in the universe. They
wow,
make up
we've
everything.
Taken so many steps back.
Everything is made of atoms and some, like hydrogen and carbon, are really stable. What does it mean, Margaret, to be stable? Generally, what does that word mean?
It means like balanced. They're not changing a lot.
Yeah, right? Balanced.
They're not taking on new ions.
So balanced.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
you're
go
not
with
even
balanced.
Addressing.
Well, I will address that. I just wanted people to, when I say stable, it means like they're in a really solid state.
Okay.
And technically with an atom, it means they have a nucleus that is, and that's the part with the protons and mm-hmm. neutrons that we'll say is very happy, very like in a good state, nothing really interesting going on. Now, once we start adding more protons and neutrons, the sheer mass of those elements, those atoms, can become so much. Now, when I say so much, I don't mean like you couldn't lift it,
mm-hmm.
but so much when we're talking at the atom level,
mm-hmm.
They become so big that they actually want to get rid of some of those particles. They want to shed some of those neutrons, maybe a couple protons and neutrons with them. They want to decay. That's a word maybe you've heard before.
Half-life.
They want to become, yes, they want to become stable.
Mm-hmm.
And how long it takes them to decay is half-life. They're measured in when half of those have decayed. And that allows them to kind of like calm down.
Radioactive elements have a very long half-life.
Yes. In fact, yes. This is a great, maybe a mini misconception, Margaret. All atoms decay. It's right. just that they have such, well, I should say all, even the ones we think of are very stable, have crazy long half-lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have things like carbon dating,
mm-hmm.
because their half-life is so long, we can actually measure the age of things with something really stable like carbon. We can also use like lead to measure they have super, lead is a heavier metal, so mm-hmm. it has an even longer half-life. And we can use that to measure like the age of rocks. So anyway, what to say is things that are really radioactive give off atoms
mm-hmm.
or give off particles so that they can become more stable.
Okay.
When they give off those particles, they might give off waves or particles. They give off energy in some form
mm-hmm.
to become more stable. When I say waves, you might think of like sound waves
mm-hmm.
or you might think of microwaves, some sort of energy. Now, obviously, if a wave has a lot of energy, that can become potentially dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to talk about waves today. We're going to talk about the particles that could be given off during radiation or something being radioactive. Those particles are potentially, and cover your ears if you have not listened to episode 56, when I talked about whether all radioactive things are dangerous. So mm-hmm. stop listening for just a second. We learned, Margaret, that mm-hmm. not all radioactive things are dangerous to our health. In fact, many things have very low, low levels of radiation, like bananas.
That's
many
right.
things are radioactive.
I feel like bananas are a classic example of things that people wouldn't assume are radioactive.
There you go.
Okay. Come on back.
Oh,
on
welcome back. Back.
Welcome.
Oh, hi.
How was it? Oh, funny? A little bit funny?
Yeah.
You liked
glad
it?
You listened to episode 56 in the time mm-hmm. you had off. Radioactive things release particles. Could be like electrons, protons, neutrons, or even other particles we'll call alpha, beta, or gamma particles. You don't need to know what those are. But specifically, we're going to talk about some particles can really, let's say, hurt to be hit by them. Beta radiation can give you a radiation burn. Mm. People have probably heard about this, like their skin getting literally like a burn from the radiation. Those have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the quote-unquote lower energy ones, alpha radiation, are not going to penetrate your skin, so mm-hmm. they're not going to cause a burn, but they're actually denser, and so you can think of them almost like a dust. They're too big to be absorbed by our skin, and so they actually can get inhaled just like you would breathe in germs or dust or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So alpha radiation is a really unique kind because in those cases, it's important, like if you're wearing a hazmat suit or wearing even a mask in those places,
mm-hmm.
it'll help you not absorb dangerous radiation because that radiation gets stuck in your lungs. It can cause lung damage or organ damage that way. So it is sort of an interesting way. I think another mini misconception might be when people think of radiation, they think usually of like a ray like going through you.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha radiation can't go through you, but it can be breathed in just like any other thing that you could potentially breathe in.
Well, and then it is doubly complicated by the fact that some radiation can be used for good when it's targeted.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
oh yeah, like if you're like someone who is undergoing cancer treatment, mm-hmm. that radiation can help, just like as it could burn skin. If it's in a very targeted mm-hmm. sense, it can be used to kill cells mm-hmm. That could be potentially Tumble really cells. Dangerous. Mm-hmm. But they don't use alpha radiation for that because that is the radiation you can breathe in. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about alpha radiation. Why do you think, based on the...
I'm going to guess that uranium is alpha radiation.
Yes. So... touching it, mm-hmm. what did I already say about that alpha radiation?
You can't go through your skin.
You can't go through your skin. Mm-hmm. So this is wild. You could pick up a chunk of uranium and be okay to touch it.
Interesting.
Which is very different than how I think anyone would ever think about uranium. Mm-hmm. You would think, no, do not be near it. Do not touch, like, get away. Mm-hmm. If someone handed it to you, you would assume something awful is about to happen.
In fact, I was just thinking about this because I love antiques from time to time, and I've seen uranium glass. I don't know if you were going to talk about this. Uranium glass. Let's see. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. In the 20th century, these glass pieces were made with up to 25% uranium. And I've seen these things on like Facebook Marketplace because they are beautiful. They glow under black light. They are green under black light. But part of me, even though I love how they look, has been like, well, we couldn't have that in our house. We'd have to put it in like a shed or something because it's not safe.
Yeah. So going back to that, if you have a rock or uranium glass is a really great tie-in and you're touching it, that's not the concern. What would the concern be based off what we've just talked about?
Glass can be sharp.
No. What we just talked about with uranium and alpha radiation.
It can't go through your skin.
Can't go through your skin. Mm-hmm. So that's not the immediate danger. What would be the danger then?
You shouldn't drink from it.
You should not drink from mm-hmm. it. Or you really shouldn't be doing what around it either. Where did I say it was most dangerous?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay. The alpha radiation doesn't go through your skin. How does it get into your body?
Breathing it in.
Yes.
Ooh.
If you are breathing around uranium, that's the issue. It's not your skin touching it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's invisible. Similar to like if someone's sick, you could catch a germ or like inhale like particles in the air mm-hmm. that could be contagious. Mm-hmm. We don't see that, right? But mm-hmm. it's out there, right? Mm-hmm. We're very all aware of that now. Mm-hmm. Alpha radiation is very similar. You're not going to see it, but mm-hmm. if you have uranium in your hand, kind of similar to like if you touch a doorknob someone might have sneezed on, mm-hmm. it's really not your hand you're worried about getting you sick. Mm-hmm. It's then your hand touching your face or your inhaling eyes. Some of it. Like mm-hmm. the same thing with uranium. Touching the rock is not the concern. Licking your hand after touching the rock would be mm-hmm. a concern. Mm-hmm. That alpha radiation is toxic to us. It mm-hmm. could get inside of us, similar to like, you used to talk about like miner's cough mm-hmm. and like soot getting your, it's the same kind of thing, which like you were saying, you don't want to drink it. And definitely if you had a tiny bit of uranium, the worst thing you could ever do with it is eat it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be my first instinct if it makes you feel
better. No, it wouldn't. So that's a great connection. Please don't buy uranium glass.
Well, it looks like it's okay because you're like, what you're saying is you don't want to have it. You don't want to ingest it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing here is a lot of people are saying that there's no recognized danger to handling or using it. I imagine that if you ground it down into a powder and inhaled it, that wouldn't be good.
Well, again, it gives off radiation whether it is not. With you, again, you don't see it. Just mm-hmm. like someone who's sick breathing, you don't see their breath, but they are still giving off something that could be harmful. I'm not an expert on this uranium glass.
I'll take it to Antiques Roadshow.
And so here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Could you, tomorrow, you could hold a piece of uranium rock, mm-hmm. hold it, look at it. You could not even wear a mask, mm-hmm. get rid of it, never look at it again. Mm-hmm. And let's say you like traveled away from that area. Mm-hmm. You would most likely never have anything negative effects come from that. Mm-hmm. Same as if you walk around, if you smoke a cigarette one day and mm-hmm. then never again. Yeah, there's carcinogens in that cigarette. Mm-hmm. That one experience is not going to do it to you. Mm-hmm. Similar to like these people who have very low levels of uranium in this glass. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in a cabinet. They're drinking from it very few times, mm-hmm. especially if it's like a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely, they are not going to see a negative health impact uh-huh. from it. Would I ask you to buy it and bring it to our house? No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't. The same as, would you like a cigarette so slowly like smoldering in one of your cabinets, even if you're not smoking from it?
I mean, the thing is, I really do like the smell of fresh cigarettes.
Okay. I don't feel like we're doing a great thing for our audience here
no,
tonight.
Then no. No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
I feel like you're saying that because you want me to hear you say that.
No, but it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be great. Risk, no, it wouldn't
right?
be great.
Mm-hmm. Like, you lowering your risk. Mm-hmm. This is not a thing you necessarily want in your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that as this is me having just done all this research. I'm not a radiologist. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I'm sure there are people who might be listening. Like, I've had that. I grew up with that. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
My dad handled mercury in front of me when I was a kid mm-hmm. and showed me how cool it was when one of our thermometers broke. It was really cool. That one experience probably didn't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Lots of people do things. I had a grandpa who lived to being almost 90, smoked all his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these are built off of averages and right. what science knows. It gives off alpha radiation. We're not saying every single time you encounter it, something bad's going to happen mm-hmm. to you. All that being said, another question that might come to mind is, haven't people been poisoned with plutonium?
Yes.
And they have. Plutonium in the small form is more radioactive in that same amount than uranium. It's mm-hmm. more unstable. Those alpha particles stay around longer in the environment. It actually has very similar kind of properties though to uranium. So if you were handling a little bit of plutonium, you wouldn't be hurt. But what's the issue with plutonium poisoning in like pop culture or in real life? How are people getting poisoned with plutonium?
Is it ingestion again?
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's getting in their body. And like I said, with the glass and with the uranium rock, the real problem with alpha particles is not them outside of you. It is when they get inside of you.
But not through your skin, through your other orifices.
Yeah, inside of you, like eating it, drinking right. it, breathing mm-hmm. it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ingesting it. So yeah, don't do that. But again, I guess if you're listening going, wait, I did touch that uranium rock that my like cool geologist friend for some reason had, you're probably okay.
You're okay.
So yeah, Margaret, that's all about touching uranium.
Thank you, Camden. So I really appreciate that. I'm going to look more into uranium glass because I'm also curious,
cool.
why was it created? Why did they stop making it?
I What's feel like deal? I could guess why they created it. It glows in the dark.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But it's not the same. Like, do you remember me telling you about the radium girls?
Yeah, the one, the lick the radium
yeah.
paint.
And put it on their faces and their, well, yeah,
it was,
would
it
lick
was for
it.
Watches.
Yeah, exactly.
For
and they
elements.
Got very sick very fast.
Because guess what they were doing?
Ingesting it. Mm-hmm. Well, my misconception. I'm trying to tie it together with yours, but
I don't think we've ever had a requirement.
Well, you know,
they should
I was just
in.
challenging myself. This misconception also has to do with ingestion, but not of anything toxic. It has to do with the ingestion and the processing of water. Let me explain. I love sharks. Sharks are my favorite / second favorite animal in the whole world, non-human animal. I'm very sensitive to misconceptions about them, and I've covered several on this podcast, I know. I've known about this misconception that I'm about to do for a while, but it's a little challenging to explain it, so I've been kind of putting it off, but it's the start of a new year. Today is the day. Without further ado, Brad Pitt. Supposedly once said, by nature, I keep moving, man. My theory is, be the shark. You've just got to keep moving. You can't stop. Not only is this quote alarmingly against rest, but it's also based on a misconception. Kimon, do all sharks need to keep swimming or drown and die?
Are you talking?
Let's get into it. So my citations are an article called Myths About Sharks and Rays from the American Museum of Natural History, a blog post by Devin Bowen for Two Oceans Aquarium, an article by Meg Mathias for Britannica, a video about buccal pumping from the Odyssey Aquarium, an article by Joseph Castro for Live Science, and a video on spiracles by the Catalina Island Marine Institute. So first, let's talk about how sharks breathe. How do they breathe, Kim, and what
sort of... One gill at a time, man.
I mean, yes. But gills. Gills are how they breathe. Gills are the fish version of our lungs. When water moves over the gill surfaces, blood vessels pull oxygen from that water that's moving over their gills.
Long time ago misconception that there's oxygen in the water.
Yes.
That was way back.
Yes, that was way, way back.
Don't listen to that one. That one, we sound like we were underwater ourselves.
We were underwater ourselves, yes. The gills are also used to get rid of carbon dioxide as well.
Just like when we breathe.
Sharks, though, have two different ways of breathing depending on their species. One option is ram ventilation, and the other is buccal pumping. Ram ventilation, buccal pumping. Now, I say options. It's not like they get to choose. This is just, it varies by species. So, ram ventilation. What do
Margaret
you think that means?
Margaret just punched
her
hand.
Yeah.
Well, based on that, I'm going to go with the assumption and trying to forget that my degree in biology. Ram ventilation is like ramming through the water. Mm-hmm. Like you just kind of fly through the water mm-hmm. and the water just sort of shoves into your gills.
That's correct.
Like shoving your gills and ramming your gills into the water.
Into the water, through the water. Yeah. Ram ventilation involves the shark swimming with their mouth open and the movement of their body through the water pushes water and therefore oxygen.
Kind of like how I eat soup.
Yes. Oh, it's horrifying to see, and it requires a lot of soup. But that water gets pushed over their gills because they're moving through the water. Think basking shark. Their mouths are open. They're moving through the water. That water is going over their gills. The sharks that solely utilize ram ventilation are the species that would indeed die if they stopped swimming. But there aren't many sharks that breathe this way. So there are around, I think, 500 different species of sharks. How many do you think use only ram ventilation to breathe?
Basking.
Oh, you're just naming them.
Yeah,
I was just asking for the
number.
Well,
I know all
500.
So
just the number. Just the number to breathe.
1% would be... Hello. Satchel as a guess. Would
Satchel
be five.
Guess.
I'll say five.
Five of the couple hundreds?
Yeah.
You're not that far off. It's about 20 that we know of.
Oh, great.
20. So a pretty small chunk.
Yeah.
They are the only ones that have only that ram ventilation to rely on. However, this category of sharks, which are called the obligate ram ventilators, because they're obligated to do it, they include some heavy hitters in terms of shark fame. So we're talking
basking
whale sharks, we're talking great whites, we're talking hammerheads, we're talking makos, the heavy hitters.
Oh really?
They
Those are
all
obligate?
Use ram ventilation. Yep, exactly.
So it is true to say, like, if Brad Pitt
was talking about a great white
and the great accent you did was yeah. like, I'm like a hammerhead yeah. shark, man.
But if he had said, I'm like a nurse shark, man, it would not be accurate.
He'd be so dumb.
Be accurate. We'll get there in a second, though. But it is possible that this misconception got its start because people were only thinking of these famous sharks. So let's get into the second method. The second method that some sharks use to breathe is called buccal pumping. Buccal pumping. This means that a shark, instead of needing to move through the water, instead uses the muscles in their cheeks to suck water into their mouths and over their gills. So they can be still as can be, and they are moving that water with their muscles over their gills. Buccal pumping sharks also have spiracles, which are holes behind their eyes that are used for breathing. So those spiracles can also bring water into their mouths. especially if they are a shark that is wanting to bury themselves in the sand. They can just have those spiracles showing and that's it. So, of course, burying themselves in the sand can help with camouflage for both catching prey and avoiding being prey themselves. They're able to just bury themselves that way, just using their spiracles to breathe, so, mouths closed.
So, yes. To understand, buccal is like cheek, like in your cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Mouth.
And so, mouth. So they are using like their muscles in their mouth.
As well as their spiracles sometimes.
Water's coming in through holes in their head. Sometimes. Spiracles are also holes in insects. That's how they breathe. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I bet.
You declare.
Yeah, interesting. Write that down. Water comes in and they're pushing their mouth. They're using their mouth muscles to sort of shove water over their gills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of using their motion, they're kind of like using their mouth muscles to sort of move the water that way. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sometimes their mouths will be open. Like I was watching a video of what I believe was a cat shark, and they will move their mouths open and close. But if they want to bury themselves completely in the sand or almost completely, they will utilize the spiracles so they don't have to open their mouths at all.
Okay.
So the truth is, we've talked about ram ventilators. Uh-huh. We've talked about buccal pumping. The truth is that most sharks use a combination of these two methods.
I wondered.
Yeah. They can switch back and forth depending on how fast they're swimming. For example, sand tiger sharks, a really common type of shark that you might have seen in an aquarium. They're also called ragged tooth sharks or gray nurse sharks outside of the U.S. They're a great example of this ability to switch between buccal pumping and ram ventilation. So if they're going quickly through the water, what would they use?
Ram.
Ram ventilation. Ah. And if they're going slowly or they're resting, they will use what?
Buccal.
Buccal pumping. Exactly.
Where I feel like pumping is the key word there.
Buccal pumping. Yeah, that helps. Also, I was thinking about it. Where a shark lives can also give clues as to whether they will be an obligate ram ventilator, a buccal pumping shark, or utilize both breathing methods.
Like a condo on the Upper East Side, not a lot of room.
I mean, kind of. You know, mako sharks, I mentioned, are those obligate ram ventilators. Makos are out in the open ocean. It's deep. There's not a reef around them. There's no ledges around them for them to rest on. So it makes sense that they would be a ram ventilator.
They're the really fast ones.
They're the fastest ones. Indeed. Indeed. Whereas nurse sharks, they tend to live in reefs, for example, or at least where the water isn't just open. So they have more places where they can rest and they can also get their prey that way. So how did this myth get started?
Brad Pitt.
He was just perpetuating it. If he did say that at all, it's hard to know his celebrity quotes. People may have assumed that sharks have to swim or die because they also assumed that all fish have to swim or die in general. That's not true either. There are fish that can rest. There are fish that have to move, just like among sharks. Eels, for example, if you think of moray eels opening and closing their mouths in their homes with their faces sticking out, that's an example of a fish who does not need to move around a lot. They can just stay where they are because it helps them get their prey that way. In conclusion, you don't need to be an obligate ram ventilator shark like Brad Pitt is suggesting. You can work hard sometimes if you're going fast. Yeah, by all means, put water in your mouth and breathe that way. But it's really good sometimes to switch. And be a buccal pumper sometimes. And just take it easy. Just rest. Use those spiracles. Bury yourself in the
sand. Use the holes in your head to breathe, yeah. My guy.
I'm like a shark. I'm gonna rest easy.
I'm gonna bury my
head. And use the holes behind my eyes to breathe sometimes.
And that person goes, your ears?
No. My spiracles. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah. I'm glad I talked about it. I've it's been bugging me for a while. I really wanted to.
Yeah, I could tell. I'm glad you got that off your chest.
You could tell something was bugging me.
I could tell
me.
You something was had been bothering you for like a year or so.
Yeah.
And now you're back to normal.
And now I'm back to normal. And now it is time to talk about what we are reading or watching or interested in this week. I'm going to go first, Camden.
Okay.
I have been listening to a podcast called Off Menu with Ed Gamble. You know what I'm going to say, with Ed Gamble and James Acaster, two British comedians. It is such a good podcast. They basically every every episode are interviewing a different celebrity and inviting them to their imaginary dream restaurant and asking them what their favorite foods are. If they could have their best meal of their lives, what would the side dish be? What would the main be? What would the dessert be? Drink, sparkling or still water, Papa Dom's or bread. It's just great. It's just, they're funny. Their guests are funny. It's just such a lighthearted break from my normal, you know, true crime stuff. So I've really been enjoying it. And I really love those comedians. What have you been consuming?
It's something that we've both been consuming.
Yes.
I know what you're going to say.
Did you forget that you were trying to break the record?
Yeah. I don't feel like it's going very well.
Stardew Valley, where I'm Cammy.
And I'm Ol' Mags.
Those are our character names. Speaking of just like a light kind of thing, it's if you've ever played Animal Crossing.
And you've ever played Minecraft.
Or Minecraft, and you smashed them together, you kind of get that. It's got like the low quality pixely sort of art mixed with like the resource gathering fun of Animal Crossing and like customization and
interpersonal.
Yeah, but it has a lot more like characters. There's more areas to explore, and like there's little side missions, like different tasks you can work on. So it's been really fun. It's been kind of relaxing. Margaret and I will play it at night, right before bed, helping each other out. It's very communal. Mm-hmm. Our money is shared. Mm-hmm. Wow. we're just starting a farm and just feeding the family.
I want to especially thank Brooke.
Yeah.
One of our guests.
Longtime guest.
Longtime frequent guest for a long time ago encouraging us to play this game. And finally, her hard work is paying off.
We finally did it.
And she was right. It's great.
Yeah, it is a great game.
It's great. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so, so much for listening today. We appreciate your support. If you liked this episode or any of the other ones you've listened to, like when you went back and listened to episode 56 really quickly, you can rate us if you're able to on your podcast app and leave us a quick review. You can tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, your mentors, people on the bus with you.
Pediatrician.
Don't be afraid. Reach out to strangers. Just kidding. Terrible idea. and let them know that you enjoy our podcast. Tell them about it. We also have a bookshop site. You can find all the books we've ever recommended on our podcast in one place. Bookshop helps readers find books at independent bookstores while giving a percentage of any books purchased to the folks that recommended them, which would be us in this case. You can support us and small businesses and the love of reading by checking out our bookshop page at bookshop.org/shop/don't-pee-on-your-leg.
You can find more content from us on our social media pages on Instagram at Don't Pee On Your Leg.
Twitter at Don't Pee On Your Leg, just the letter P.
And Facebook at facebook.com/Don't Pee On Your Leg.
Don't Pee On Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at www.twobirdsonescone.org.
Our original theme music is by Camillo.
And if you have scientific misconceptions that you'd like explained, you want to provide feedback to us, you want to wish Olympia a happy second birthday, please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!